settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
I'm Mick Avery.
Welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. And thanks for joining us. On this show, we bring you clear, concise communication direct from the spirit world, from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. As mediums, we are able to bring you the benefit of the spirit world's wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we may never have realized were available to us. And tonight's show is about developing your gift of healing. So if you're interested in healing, this is the show for you. Anyway, if you would like to join us with a question, asking Gregory the spirit world a question, or joining in with our conversation. It's not readings, but it's actually just communication, okay? This is an educational program tonight, but healing is such a vast subject, it really is, and you'd be surprised. So if you think you have a gift of healing, or maybe you would like to have a gift of healing, you don't know, anyway, we're here for you. So it's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, 888-810-8322. International callers, it's not free, but I don't think it's too expensive if anybody's around. It's 001-530-876-3222.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Mermin, happy birthday to you.
Thank you very much. People know that you call me Mermin now.
They do, yes. As well as anything else that they might know about us. Hi, I'm Mick. And as well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific, and that's called Spirit Teaching. If you want to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, or need any of the other services that we offer, please go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and also www.spiritsworkradio.com. Every week, I deep trance channel live on air and bring through an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of highly knowledgeable people in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group. They are an educational group, and they are here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. That's it. That's me, isn't it? I'm done now. I'm all done and washed up.
Okay. Very good.
Life's full of surprises, dear.
It is, yes. You shocked me then. It's back to me again. Well, I'll just tell you a little bit about Gregory Hay, who you're going to be listening to very shortly. Gregory walked the earth 300 years ago, and after his passing, he was asked if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group called the White Cloud Group. They were going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life, to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet and guide us towards stability. The White Cloud Group, who he is the spokesperson for, consists of eminent scientists, physicists, scholars, as well as ordinary people, and between them they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, to think outside of the box and explain situations that affect us and our future, and of course, those who wish to come after us, who haven't had a physical life yet. And maybe when Gregory comes in, he'll tell you just a snippet about his life on Earth when he was here and how he passed, for those who don't know. And maybe we'll do another program on Gregory and his life very shortly for new listeners. Anyway, the phone lines are open tonight, as I say, toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227, Canada, 888-810-8322. If you can't sleep and you're an international caller, it's 001-530-876-3222. And I'd just like to say that we will be having another round of mini free Akashic readings coming up shortly in June, 11th and 14th of June. If you would like one, we would name your full name at birth. That's your first, middle, and last name that you had at birth, your date of birth, your telephone number, and one question. Email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. If you if we can't fit you in on either of those shows, we can fit you in on another one, I'm sure. So do get in touch. And our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. Okay. Hi, Gregory.
Hello, Finn.
Hello.
With love and light, as always, Finn.
Thank you. So we're going to be talking about developing gifts of healing tonight. But I wondered if you'd just like to explain a little bit about yourself and how you passed, just for your listeners.
Yes, very well. My name is Gregory Hay. I was born in 1705 and I passed in 1723. I lived near to the village of Swaffham in the county of Norfolk in England. I was a poor peasant, and my father was a poor peasant, and my mother was a peasant also. We had very little money. I was actually born in a little village called West House, which is to the west of Swaffham itself. My remains are interred in the outer walls of Castle Acre Priory, which is just to the north of the village of Swaffham itself. The castle, the priory itself, was actually ransacked by Henry VIII some 150 or so years previously, prior to my birth. But in actual fact, there were some visiting monks, and the reason for my internment there was actually because I had been educated by them. I was run over by a coach and four horses in 1723, one raining night, and that I, in fact, did not see them, nor did they see me. I was decapitated and lost my right hand at the wrist. Not, of course, that it had any worries to me. Once you are past, you're past, so to speak, although I was in the vicinity of the area of my passing some 2 to 3 days. I wasn't just loitering, don't forget. Don't worry, I was actually there just merely observing life and the situation around me. I was continually drawn to that place for a while until eventually my mother came to my side, as I thought of her, in fact, and I then knew that everything was well and I left with her.
Okay.
My father, John, unfortunately, carried on living until he was, I believe he was 54 or so, mm-hmm. when he passed.
You said unfortunately. Why unfortunately?
Well, he wasn't a very happy man.
After you died?
Well, the point is that his wife, my mother, had passed as well. Prior to my passing, she had actually died when I was only 3. And so I was actually left to be brought up by John Hay, my father. And it must have been quite a difficult, hard existence for him to have a small child to care for whilst, even though he went and worked on the land.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose that has been where much of my inner strength has come from, was from his fortitude and realization that he actually did all that he could.
Yes.
For my welfare, even though, of course, you would appreciate many people on your side of life at that time were quite ignorant and quite stupid in events. They were poorly educated, as I was, although I did learn to read and write a little, and I used to write poetry as a child.
But you actually learnt everything you know, really, in the spirit world, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, in the halls of learning.
So...
That is true.
That's just, you know, I mean, we can't imagine it, really. I know we've talked about it before, but it's still hard to get your head around the fact that you can become as knowledgeable as you are.
As knowledgeable as you want to be. That's the point.
I guess that's the point, isn't it, really?
And that everyone has that free will.
Mm.
You still have free will in the spirit world, exactly the same as you had in physical life, to a point. Of course, there are degrees, and there are limitations. For example, if you have the free will and you want to become very negative and uninspired, that you want to perhaps cast situations into great negativity whilst in the spirit world, then you will become isolated because your vibration will sink. And you will become isolated from the very fact of your thoughts. Don't forget, my friends, thoughts are living things. And as such, the thoughts that you bring to your mind are the avenues to the universe that you paint.
Okay. Lots to think about there, even. Okay, but tonight we're going to be talking about developing your gifts of healing.
Yes, Finn.
So, where would you like to start on that? Because it's such a huge subject, really.
Well, yes. Really, the gifts of healing has to start with self and how you regard yourself. If you are in touch with yourself in relation to your spirit, perhaps, or perhaps your intuitive sense, then, if you do not even regard your spirit. And I don't mean to judge you in this respect. I have every admiration for many, many people who know nothing about the spirit world and yet are wonderful, beautiful healers because they wanted to do something themselves for their duty of care. And this is an important aspect to remember. In a sense, your first duty of care is to yourself. That doesn't mean to say you're selfish. It doesn't mean to say that you're egotistical. It means to say that if you do not have regard of yourself and the higher meaning you may present to other people, then you will have little regard for anyone else. This quite simply means, my dear friends, that if you yourself wish to become a healer, then you must first of all heal yourself. Heal yourself of your thoughts. That's the first step to becoming a healer. That you have to understand that you are responsible for the thoughts that you bring, that you give birth to. If this was not the case, you would be thinking all kinds of crude or illegitimate thoughts, thoughts that really do not bind you to the presence of positivity or love, or the vibration of empathy. So, my dear friends, the first thing you have to do is to curb your thoughts. You have to think in terms of positivity, and you also have to think of connectivity. That if you wish to bring a gift to yourself, then you need to be able to heal yourself. How many times have you heard the situation that there are mediums, perhaps, and they're really ill all the time. Or that they smoke a lot or something like that. Yes, I know that's just a habit. But I'm saying, you see, that some people, in a sense, disregard their physical body. And what I'm saying is, if you really want to become a healer, then you have to learn what your parameters are, what you're allowed to do, and what will really accentuate your living vibration. Because that is what is so important, your vibration. So if you are of a very positive, very loving vibration, I'm not saying that people who smoke are not positive or loving, but I'm just saying that your body is your temple. It's your temple of light in physical state. If you want to attract the very best, the very highest to it, then you must observe respect to it. Because you need to treat it in that way. So, first of all then, how would you heal yourself? first of all, you need to look at a particular experiment that you can make. And that is, for example, that you want to be able to heal an object, a part of you. That is, could be a finger, could be a toe, a leg, or something like that. But what though if you don't actually have the tools to be able to do that with? Well then, what we need to describe to you is how to perceive those tools. And simply what you need to do is, first of all, you would sit in a reasonably straight chair. Try not to slouch or try not to sit and do this in a chair that folds around you, but rather one that is quite rigid, so that you are able to sit in a balanced way. Balance is something that you must remember always in the state of the healing of any being, whether it be yourself, another human being, an animal, or a place. You need to have balance, which will invite and create harmony in your life. So if you have balance, if you sit upright and you sit in balance, you won't feel pulled to one direction or another. What you would then do is you would say an invocation or prayer. Some words to God, if you like. Even if you don't regard God as being an entity, you could be an atheist and do this. You could be a complete ignoramus to do with anything spiritual, but you can still do this. You can just simply say, "Hello, I would like to do some healing for myself, please. And I would like the time and assistance from the other side to come with me and be with me and to share in my light and to help me over this hurdle of pain that I may have," or whatever it is, that's where you put it in there, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And you just say whatever it is that you want to have help with. Perhaps it may be a headache or some attitude of mind or something like that. So we're just saying at the moment that we're only concentrating on one thing. We're not making it complicated. We're just saying, "Well, here's this little bit of me, and I would like to have some healing for it, please." And that's all that you would do. You would just sit there, ask for this, and then close your eyes and allow the situation to wash over you. Don't forget, by the way, that before that you start all of this, you would unhook the telephone, you would make sure that you were not going to be disturbed for at least 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you would do is you would just simply sit there and allow the situation to take over you. Try not to be in fear. Just allow the situation to develop. You may feel a change in your awareness. You may feel quite sensitive to sounds. Try not to pay too much attention to them, though. Just let them stay in the background. If you hear traffic and noises outside your room, don't give those any attention either. Just remain still and calm. Whatever's going on out there won't hurt you and won't come into contact with you as long as you don't answer it, you see. You can just simply just sit there and let it go away. Even if someone comes and knocks on the door, doesn't mean to say you've got to stop immediately and jump up and deal with it. You see, this is your time, so you can just sit there and not respond. And so whilst you're doing this, what will actually happen is you will begin to feel energy around the situation of what you have asked to be healed or to have help with. And you will begin to feel this energy as a particular pulse or a temperature change around your skin. It's an area on the outside of you, perhaps a thumb or finger or arm or something like that. Perhaps you may have damaged your wrist or even bumped your head. You just ask for this of the spirit world and it will come to you. you see. You don't have to be talking to aliens in order to bring this about. You don't have to be talking to any single identity. Not Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, or any of the other so-called enlightened beings. But those whom you may hold in high esteem. It's not necessary. It really isn't. Because what you're doing in creating this, yes, you are asking for the highest and best, of course you are, in your invocation or prayer. But just the same as any being in the spirit world who desires those who are harmonic with them, so there will be those who are harmonic with you. They don't have to have some glorified name, like Nero or some Roman emperor or past well-known advocate. All it needs to be is someone who has your intention of love at heart, and their vibration meets with yours and helps you. This can be, of course, someone who is your doorkeeper, guardian angel, if you wish to prefer that as a name, as an entity. If that helps you, then it fits. It doesn't really matter. What matters is the connectivity of that energy with you as an energy. And you will feel that gradually this time will pass. And you will know instinctively, intuitively, when the time is up. And you will feel, ah, yes, I'm back again now. And that will be it, you see. Quite simple, really.
So that's healing self.
That is healing self.
And but that's not so that's not faith healing or anything like that. That's,
no, it's nothing to do with faith. Faith doesn't not really have any parameter in your healing ability. What you need when you are healing is not faith, not belief, but knowledge. That is what you need. You can throw faith out the window. It means nothing. Faith means nothing at all. It's just a pathway to truth, perhaps, or not. You see, you may find truth at the end of the pathway of faith, but it's not tantamount to you must find it. Because many people have been on the pathway of faith and fallen off. Or many people have been on the pathway of faith and, in fact, have found it to be completely hollow. So that is what we say. Be on the path to knowledge and truth. Only that will be the coat of your colour, will make you shine and vibrant.
Okay, so basically, if you want, so what you're saying is, if you want to be a healer,
yes,
you really need to be able to heal yourself.
Yes.
And accept healing and really treat your body as your temple.
Yes, the point is, my friend, you must be able to accept healing yourself. That's my point, really. If you cannot accept healing yourself, how can you possibly expect to give it to someone else?
Okay, and is that a certain amount of that to do with replenishing your own system because of giving out all the time?
How would you, yes, in a word, yes, but how would you be able to cope, say, with someone who is passing? If they suddenly came into your life briefly, and they were passing, and they needed your help. Because they needed to be guided to the other side, perhaps. Or they needed to be reassured. Perhaps they needed your healing energy just to help them and their energy respond to the needs of the moment to help them have a tranquil passing. That is my point. You need to be balanced and harmonic to do that. Yes, friend.
Okay, hi.
Hello, hi, this is John.
Oh, hi, John. Gosh, you sound like you got your head in a bucket of water.
It's a new phone that I have.
It's a new home you have, Finn.
I think you got ripped off, John.
Oh, no. If you can hear me, my question is, can you tell me something about the personality of cancer cells compared to regular cells?
I heard the last bit. No, actually, can you say it again?
The personality of what, friend?
of cancer cells, cells that are cancerous.
Cancerous.
Can you describe them in terms of personality or make it simple to understand?
Oh, very well. Yes, my friend. The point is that cancerous cells are no different to your own cells. They're just mutated. The point is that human beings are quite unstable at times. I mean that your cellular structure is unstable. What I'm saying really is don't forget, my friend, that as a physical being, you are renewing yourself probably many times in one lifetime. You are not the person that you were 14 days ago, quite simply. You have renewed yourself since then. All the time, your cells are passing away, are being replenished by new cells. And all of this regrowth and state of saturation is reached at times and at critical mass at others, in which time you will actually find that occasionally for some people, these massed cells mutate into a different form of growth. It doesn't mean to say that in doing that, that it is a lesser state, but it is just a different state. It is your genetics which have actually helped to do that, and possibly outside environmental effects. What actually and how that will feel different to you is that, shall we say, if you are passing your hand over a place which is cancerous and you are a healer, it will change in temperature. If you are conscious at that time of doing the healing. If you are not, so in other words, my friend, if you are not doing healing in a trance state, a trance healing or something like that, but are doing something a bit lighter, and that means no disrespect to those people who do that, it doesn't matter what energy you work in, the response will still be the same. And what will actually happen is that you will actually feel the effect as you pass your hand over a particular area. It will either tingle, you will have signs through from your spirit workers who are actually working with you, even if you don't regard spirit at all, you will still have these signs that they will play with the bottom of your hand or something like that, or give you some other sign of actually what you can feel there. And in direct response to the very change in directive of cells because of the mutation present, and this means actually that they're giving off a totally different harmonic energy to that of your ordinary cell structure. To that of your auric field, for example, your auric field would also have changed and altered slightly at that point and place where the distoic cells are sitting and organizing themselves and mutating. And that is exactly the same for someone who has a benign, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was Ben.
Mm.
Yes, thank you. A benign tumor or a malignant tumor, they are fairly similar in their vibration context and the way that they will feel to you. It will, however, be that perhaps a malignant tumor will be somewhat more irritant, more energetic, more energy will come from it. Because usually with a benign tumor, what actually will happen is that the growth will form and then it will stop, and then it will grow a little bit and then it will stop. It won't necessarily be a form of mutation which will then grow exponentially throughout the cell system of that particular place. Even though, of course, one of those forms of a tumor will actually become quite large, can even be the size of a small ball or something like that. But it doesn't mean to say that it is still as invasive as something, as a malignant one.
What does cancer look like to you? And what does a different
green.
Form? Green. And is that a benign one and a malignant one? They look the same color? Or
no, benign ones are usually green. But malignant ones have orange and red in them.
Okay, so that's what it looks like.
Yes, a benign one also has yellow in it.
Green and yellow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. At times, it depends on how active it is. As I say, benign ones usually tend to be very slow.
In vibration, you mean?
Yes, slow in vibration and also in the way that they feel to you. You see?
Okay. John?
Okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you, thank you.
All right, John, thanks. he sounded clearer then. He, further away, but
yes.
Actually, it didn't
yes.
have the gurgling on
further
it.
Further away is like the other side of a hotel or
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But
a large room.
So okay. Well, let's stay on cancer at the moment.
Oh, very well.
And let's carry on with talking about healing yourself.
Yes.
Is this something that you can ask the spirit world to do if you've got cancer? To
yes.
Sit for healing?
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. And you can change and alter your outcome dramatically depending upon your insight of mind. And I really mean that most sincerely. Most people usually succumb to cancer because they give up. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that in the face of all of those people who have had such distraught lives trying to fight what they know to be inevitable in a sense. But that's because you have that thought in there, you see? Mm-hmm. The point is that there have been people who have been diagnosed with cancer and have refused it, absolutely refused it, and have just simply gone about the whole situation as saying, I am going to do this
on my own,
and they do it.
Yes.
And there is, of course, very good documentary evidence for this, and people would say, oh yes, well it must have been a misdiagnosis or something like that.
Yes, I've heard that too.
Yes.
And it's not something that we would suggest people did.
No, indeed not.
But it is something that it happens.
Yes, my point really is to say that, you see, if you are a person who has been diagnosed with cancer, and perhaps it is even in the latter stages, of course, the later the stages are, the more difficult it would be. And I understand that there are some people who perhaps have decided, perhaps they have visited with cancer before, and that they don't really want to go through that process again of trying to make themselves well and battling with all of the very virulent drugs and that kind of
yeah.
thing that they have to take in order to combat it, to try to knock it out. But the point is that some people, of course, will actually decide that they don't want to do that fight, that form of fight, and so that they will actually prepare themselves in a different way. That, too, is a state of healing that they're creating for themselves. Perhaps they want to pass in a happy way. Perhaps it is that they're reading everything that they can in order to learn about the spirit world, because, after all, that's where they're going.
Well, that's the other thing, isn't it?
You wouldn't go on holiday and not read about where you were going, would you? And you wouldn't want to go to the spirit world without knowing about it as well.
Mm. Yes, quite. Absolutely. I mean, and the thing is, sitting like that for healing from your guides and helpers on your own, a lot of the time we might not think that, like, say, for instance, if it is cancer, that we might think that it's not worked, but, you know, something else has happened, hasn't it? We can't necessarily know what's happened.
No, and the point is, really, that you have to keep this very, very positive, uplifted attitude. You have to understand that there are many, many beings who will share in the work that you are trying to do, to create, and they will be there trying to help you to do that, to fulfill it. To fulfill your desire. After all, my friends, you've sent it to the universe, you've asked for this help, then you need to follow it through with the direct action of doing it, of creating it. And that's part of the point, really, that you have to understand that you really are the master of your own ship. You really do have the free will destiny. It's not that this disease has taken everything away from you, it's just altered the picture of your life. So perhaps what you need to do is to focus on different things for your life. I'm not saying that by doing self-healing that it will cure the cancer that you have. Everyone is different. Everyone's an individual. And no two cases are the same.
Well, it would certainly complement whatever else that you do.
Absolutely.
I mean,
so.
It would complement anything. I mean,
yes.
So there would be no harm in trying it.
As any form of healing will do for any form of disease. Do not forget, the forms of disease that you suffer from are because you are, your physical state is for some reason out of step with the environment or with some other facet of your life, being that it has made you susceptible to a dis-ease of your physical body.
Okay, I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about healing and developing gifts of healing. So if you'd like to join us with a question related to our subject, the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. The number to call is toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322. So we are so bad at looking after ourselves, aren't we?
Yes, human beings are.
I mean, really, really bad.
Well, yes.
It really is. Don't do as I do, do as I say, isn't it?
For a lot of people, I have to say, yes, it is. From the type of foods that you eat to the way in which you order your life. Perhaps it is to do with the order of things. Perhaps you get in a mess about what you're doing at what time of the day or something like that. And many of these things are built upon the pressures of life. But you really need to know how to handle yourself, how to be able to cope with these issues if you are going to have any success in healing yourself or someone else. As I say, you must be harmonic. That means being harmonic with the whole precept of life which faces you.
Is there a certain person, talking about cancer again, is there a certain person who's predisposed to cancer? I don't mean, obviously, the people that smoke and do all these other things. You know, we know about all of that. But is there a certain type of person who is predisposed to it in your experience of dealing with healing people and receiving people?
It really, really does depend upon many different calculations. Many different problems to do with the genetics of a single individual may well perform differently if that person is living in a different environment to someone else of the same or similar genetic disposition living somewhere else who is not predisposed to it, simply because their living standard or condition is something which helps them to have a happy and harmonic life. Just saying that someone is happy doesn't mean to say that they would not succumb to cancer. But what I'm saying is that there are possibilities afoot for some people to do just that, and it does not either necessarily recollect that someone who smokes will automatically be more susceptible to cancer. Some people are actually more healthy, in fact, if they smoke nicotine, because in actual fact what it does, it creates a barrier between themselves and other recurring mutations of their physical state.
What sort of things could that be?
Well, I'm just saying that it is something which may happen. It depends entirely upon the cell structure of a person, you see. For some people, they may react differently, for example, if they take in coal dust into their lungs. And they may actually react differently if they work in a place which is grossly covered in viruses and bacteria, like a place that deals with sewage.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
But how often do you ever find a person who works in the sewage industry who actually falls ill? They don't. They simply don't fall ill because they are in that vibration, in that atmosphere. Those bacteria and virulent strains of viruses and other harmful things are in their system all the time. All of the time.
So are we too clean?
Yes, absolutely so.
We, you know, as children we used to play in the dirt when we were kids.
Yes, but I don't believe that that's something that happens now.
And it doesn't seem to so much, no.
No. People are even trying to disinfect their houses from even the small bugs that live in the ground. But the point is that if you have a situation which is that hostile to the world in which you live, then you cannot really hope to continue to have a safe environment in that way, because what you're doing is you are lowering the threshold of what would be invasive to you.
Mm.
So what in fact is happening, my friends, is that you are possibly lowering the threshold of how your body can actually fight something, because it hasn't had any dealings with it, perhaps from the year that you as a being first crawled. If you didn't, as a child, put dirt in your mouth, didn't mean to say that you are forever doomed to have the various forms of viruses which come from the earth to being attacking you. But what I'm saying is that with children, the way that they play in the earth situation is something which is very much of a child's life. If you remove that away from them, then all of those situations they are dealing with close at hand, in contact with, they are not going to build an immune system which will then be able to cope with the very virulent strains of disease which may come their way. And as you, as a society, continue to mutate through your cell system, don't forget, as I said, every being is changing all of the cells of your physical body almost weekly or monthly. So if you're doing that, you're growing all of these cells and throwing away old cells, then much of what you are doing is you are not passing on the genetic engineering from the old cells that you are discharging. The memory of those combative situations, of the secrets of your life, of how you have fought off all of these viruses up to now, are then becoming less and less significant. If you are keeping yourself so completely clean and that you are almost reacting as though you are a virus-free being. People don't cope with being virus-free. You need viruses, you need bacteria in yourself to be able to exist.
Well, people don't, I mean, you know, things used to drop on the floor and you pick in the kitchen and you just sort of give it a blow and pick a few hairs off of it and eat it, you know, when you were a kid. I mean, now it's like, oh, put it in the bin. You
know? Yes.
I mean, we didn't have fridges when I was small. And
no.
It's like everybody freaks out now about, you know, food being not, you know, not being in the fridge. Day or
yes,
whatever.
I understand. In my day, my friend, if it had turned green, we thought about throwing it out or giving it to the dog if it would eat it. But to be honest with you, nothing actually used to get left that long.
No. No, you know, and central heating and, you know, the allergies that we get to everything now.
Yes,
I mean, there's so much more, I would think. You know what I mean?
Yes, but you see what I'm saying, that the point is that your autoimmune system is something which is very fragile, and many people suffer from the fragility of that system and the fact that, in fact, you are becoming infected with other different strains, because don't forget, all of those viruses and bacteria are actually changing and altering. If you don't actually have the backup system within yourself from its primal day, that is, when that virus first emerged, perhaps it was just a cold or something like that. Don't forget, the virus within you has transferred from it from the time that you first encountered it, and it will be continuously mutating in you as well. And gradually you will find that you won't actually possibly succumb to it because it has mutated at the same rate, and it acts as a counteractivity to the virus which is out there. You see? And so what you are actually doing is you are, in essence, because of your life history, you are actually carrying around viruses which are exactly the same or mutating at a different rate than much of your other body system. And what is actually happening is that part of that is very protective to you. For some people, you can actually create the energy within a self when you're hitting yourself to actually help this situation, to help you to fight off mutation diseases which are trying to attack you from time to time. As I say, really, most human beings should not really be succumbing to all of these different forms of bacteria and virus. The reason why they are is because their autoimmune system is deficient, or because perhaps their mineral intake is less than it should be. Perhaps to do with trace elements or something like that, which actually some forms of bacteria within your own body system depend upon in order to be in their right number. For example, the bacteria in your stomach, the various forms of bacteria which live there that need to reproduce themselves in order that you can digest your food properly.
What about the all the chemicals and additives and things in food?
Yes.
Does that make our body, obviously it's not good for us, we know that, but does it deplete our body and keep it too occupied in dealing with that?
Yes.
And then we succumb to all of the
Yes, things? Absolutely so. That's why they're so bad for you.
Yeah. Was that anybody there? No.
No, I don't believe so.
I heard a click in my ear.
Yes.
Okay.
A gremlin.
A gremlin.
It was a gremlin in the works.
Absolutely. So it's all about balance, really.
It is.
Your body is your temple.
Yes.
And confidence. And believing that when you sit there and try and do this healing on yourself, I mean, we'll talk about other types of healing next week and about developing your gift of healing to actually channel healing yourself to do it on other people. But as Gregory was saying, this is the first step, being able to sit and heal yourself.
Yes, I was saying that, wasn't I?
Yes, you were. Yeah.
I'm just playing with your friend, yes.
So it's confidence, isn't it? It's confidence in knowing that that something is happening. Does it matter if you're sitting there and you don't feel that anything is happening at all?
Well, that may well happen, of course, that you don't feel any change whatsoever. And all I can say is that many of the things which happen in the spirit world and to you, you will not feel, you will not be aware of. Not because it's not there, not because it isn't in your aura or it's not in your vibration, but perhaps because you have not become sensitive enough to the activity that they're creating or that has been created around you. So what you need to do is to resist the temptation to say, oh, phooey, it doesn't work or whatever, or no, I'm not doing that again, that's a waste of time. If you are so easy to give up on something, then that becomes a problem to you in your life. That really is quite habit-forming. Many people do that as a matter of course. So I would say to you, try to resist that attitude and decide instead that, no, you can't hear it, you can't feel it, you can't see it, perhaps because you have not attuned to it. Which means that you need to work a little bit harder in what you do, in how you allow the situation to overcome you. Don't forget, don't be frightened, don't feel that you're putting yourself at odds with the universe. You're not leaving yourself unprotected. You are saying a protective part of your opening invocation or prayer. So you are being protected.
Can you say, for instance, if you have a, if it is your wrist that that you have an injury on, or something, a pain in, can you put your hands on yourself in that way to heal with your other hand or anything like that, or do you have to just sit there and be passive to the spirit world being able to heal this particular place? But I'm just thinking if you can reach it.
Yes, I understand. But the thing is, my friend, if you haven't done this before, then I suggest that you just sit there and just allow the situation to wash over you. The reason that I say this is because you may well be pleasantly surprised by the sensations which are brought to you by the spirit world. Give it a chance. Don't just dismiss it and say that it's something of your mind, and don't just dismiss it and say because you didn't feel anything that, it doesn't work, it'll never work with me. That's usually the attitude that many people fall into, just because perhaps that may well be their attitude of the day, mm-hmm. or something which has created that in their environment of the day, and so they just repeat it. Mm-hmm. If you feel as though you are negative when you do this, if you have that negative feeling about you, then the chances are you won't have a very successful time. Well, unless your healing is about returning that negativity into positivity.
Well, I was just
and
going
changing
to say
your
that.
Mind.
If you were a very stressful
yes.
person and
yes.
you were really just, you know, maybe suffering from depression or whatever,
yes.
then it's going to be very good for that, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely so. It's a prime example, really, of how you can quite simply turn your life around in from the situation that you were facing into a different one. Remember that most of the things that you face and the reason for your negativity about them is usually because you feel disempowered in some way, or that you feel that you are frequently revisiting situations of past failure, and they are the things that are giving you rise to your feelings of resentment about yourself. So the thing to do is to understand that all of these situations are of the past, and that that's where they belong. The only reason that they are still figuring so heavily in your life is because you're giving them attention, because you're attracting that energy toward them, and that energy, instead of healing you, is going to feed the negativity that you're still putting out into the universe, because you're bringing it up into your mind. So quite simply, all you need to do is to turn that off. I know, easy for me to say, difficult for you to do, but really that's all what you have to do. You have to be able to turn it off.
And obviously, to give yourself a fighting chance, you've only got 2 minutes left. So,
yes.
But to give yourself a fighting chance, set the scene. That's a good idea, isn't it? Obviously, take your phone off, make
yes.
sure nobody's going to start banging on your door. What do you, a few candles, maybe, and just make
well,
it
well, maybe,
nice
maybe
atmospheric.
Not.
You know, it helps, doesn't it? Though,
it may
create
help.
Create an ambience of
yes.
relaxation.
It may well help
for
you.
Some people.
Don't forget to put them on a saucer, though. You don't want to have accidents.
No, and maybe some something, I don't know, essential oil burning, anything like that, really. It's whatever you want, isn't it?
Yes, and that will help you not to lose your mind to some outside unseen force, but to help you to realize your alignment that is needed to help you heal yourself and know yourself. That is the important thing. If you know yourself and you don't like what you know, change what you know.
Absolutely. And set the
change yourself.
And it does help to create a special time and place for yourself, I think.
Yes, absolutely so.
Psychologically, if nothing else.
Yes.
Okay, then. All right.
With love and light, then, Fair.
Thank you, Gregory.
God bless.
Okay, so like I say, next week we will expand on this, and we'll talk about actually channeling the healing energies through you to whoever. Well, we'll go into that next week, and we'll see where we go from there. So, don't forget, if you'd like a mini free Akashic reading, we will be doing that next week, and also, from then on, we will be getting names and just putting them down as and when you would like to be fitted in. So, we want your full name at birth, your first, middle, and last name, your date of birth, telephone number, and one question, and email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. Or if you want to know anything more about us, go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and then you can find out more about us then. Don't forget, we have Spirit's Work on Thursday as well. We'd love to have you with us then. Thank you so much for listening to the wonderful BBS Radio and joining us on Spirit's Work tonight. My name is Sylvie Avery, and until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.